Okay. We will start the internal affairs meeting. Let the record show it is Monday, October the 19th still. And let's start with item number one.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners. The Commission has an opportunity to pursue a federal grant from the U.S. Department of Transportation that would provide support to the Florida Public Service Commission Pipeline Safety Program. The grant supports up to 80% of the cost of personnel, equipment, and activities required to carry out inspection and enforcement activities of interstate pipeline facilities. The grant funding specifically reimburses the expenses associated with the inspection of natural gas pipeline facilities to ensure compliance and enforcement as necessary with the applicable chapters of Title 49 of the Code of Federal Regulations. We're seeking your approval, your consideration and your approval to proceed with the grant application. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
For the Executive Director or staff, Commissioner Egger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Baez, quick question. I understand that many other states, in fact, almost all participate in this program. Is there any expectation that for us to apply for the grant, to participate in the grant program, that additional costs will be incurred from what we have done prior to seeking the grant?
The short answer is no. So we don't anticipate any extension of or any increases in our costs. Mm-hmm. Remember also that as our costs increase as a natural function, I mean, the reimbursement rate follows along.
Okay.
Whatever that might be in any given year.
All right. Thank you.
Commissioner Petronis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we participate in this, will it also kind of help for the stability and retention of the folks we already got in place also?
We are, as an overall matter, we are hoping that access to this grant money or this grant funding will allow us to address any matters that come up as part of our regulatory program.
Gotcha.
I'm not saying it's a magic bullet, but it'll come in handy to be able to address those kinds of issues, among others.
Okay, so you just need for us approval to proceed forward?
Yes, Chairman, if it's your will.
Commissioner Egger.
I would move approval and direct our staff to take all appropriate steps to apply for the grant and the reimbursement process.
It's been moved and second. The Egger Amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? By your actions, you've approved that amendment.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Okay, item number two.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Bob Casey on behalf of staff. Issue number two is the draft 2015 Lifeline Report. Florida statutes require the Commission to provide this report to the Governor, President of the Senate, and Speaker of the House of Representatives by December 31 each year. The report details regulatory actions impacting the Lifeline program and Lifeline awareness promotions in Florida. Staff is seeking approval of this draft report and is available for any questions.
Commissioners, any questions of staff on this report? Commissioner Egger, is that your light on? No. Okay. Commissioner Brzezak.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, staff, thank you for this great report. On page 14, you highlight the inverse relationship that exists between participation and eligible households, and if you all can talk a little bit about that relationship in terms of any analysis that you've gotten from the information that you have gotten from companies and so forth.
Okay, I'd be glad to. The number of households eligible for Lifeline increased approximately 81,000 this year. And on the other side of it, During the recertification process, we lost 142,000 Lifeline customers that decided not to recertify. We also lost over 101,000 Lifeline customers from the Commission's oversight to prevent fraud, waste, and abuse of the program. So I am proud of that. That's almost 250,000 customers that we lost because of those two things. And we are hoping to increase the amount of eligible Lifeline customers. I know DCF had a computer-to-computer interface with our ETCs, and most ETCs declined to use it, even though the FCC said you must use it, because of the cost involved. DCF has decided to go to a web interface, which would be much easier for the ETCs and at no cost, where they can check consumer certification. We also have 35 wireless ETC applications pending at the FCC, which have been sitting there for a couple years. And if the FCC decides to go ahead with those, that will probably increase our Lifeline customers here in Florida. And we also have a number of things that our Office of Public Information has done and is planning to do for Lifeline. And Cindy Muir could go over those for you.
Thank you. Ms. Muir, I know that your department is very involved in getting out to the community and identifying partners and so forth. So if you could talk to us a little bit about some of the things that you're doing and the, sort of the reception at those events and how successful those have been or not successful, whichever one it is.
Well, we have, there's four times each year we have a concerted push for Lifeline. And that, of course, is Lifeline Awareness Week, which you participate in this year, and National Consumer Protection Week, Older Americans Month, and Energy Awareness Month, which is this month. And we go all over the state during those four times a year. Then on top of that, every month we reach two new organizations that we feel has eligible clients, and we have at least two events each month. On top of that, we every August send all Lifeline materials in all three languages to the libraries. It reaches over 500 libraries and their branches, and we try and target those organizations that have, we feel, has eligible clients. There's almost, through the years, 100 partners, not quite, but almost, that we've partnered with. And it's not that they're not supportive, and we get the information out, but getting them to follow through on it isn't always as easy as it may seem. But we're trying, and we'll continue to try.
Thank you. So I just want to express my appreciation to our team for getting out into the public and doing their best to ensure that people are aware of the program. The other thing is, you know, that inverse relationship is may also be a function of the sense that people have about the economy as well. You know, if people feel a little bit better about the economy, they may not apply. And so those may be some of the realities that exist associated to the program.
Any other commissioners? Commissioner Brown.
Just a kind of an administrative question. Along with this report, I'm assuming, Mr. Casey, you all are going to submit a letter to the designated folks on there from the chairman's office.
Yes, we will prepare a letter under the chairman's signature.
Okay, great.
As we usually do each year, yeah.
Thank you, and I hope it's succinct with some quick facts for them to review because sometimes they don't get an opportunity to look at the report. So if you could do that, that would be great.
Of course.
Thank you.
Was that a motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move approval of the report along with the submission of a letter to the chairman's office with his signature.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? By your actions, you've directed staff to move forward with the draft Lifeline report. Bob, I know this is your last meeting. When's your last day?
I have about 3 hours and 5 minutes left, sir. not that I'm counting.
Not only this is your last meeting, this is your last day.
Yes, sir. Well,
it's been nice having you on staff the limited time that I've been here, but you've always been very, very helpful to both to me and to my office, and we do appreciate everything you've done, and I'm sure all my other fellow commissioners feel likewise. I know Commissioner Brise said something last week during agenda, and I got away before that happened, but I want to personally give you my good thoughts.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed working.
And enjoyed vacation. Yeah. But don't forget about us. You're always welcome back.
I hope so. Thank you, sir.
All right. Okay. Item number 3.
Commissioners, item 3 is a briefing of recent actions by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to regulate carbon dioxide emissions from electric generating plants. On August 3, 2015, the EPA issued final carbon regulations for new and existing power plants. And along with these final rules, the EPA issued proposed model training rules associated with federal implementation of the Clean Power Plan. As you recall, the Commission has participated in this process by filing comments on the proposed rules. In staff's opinion, the EPA has made several improvements in the final rules. Regarding the rule addressing new, modified, and reconstructed generating units, the improvement of note is a reduced reliance on the use of carbon capture and sequestration in the BSER for new coal and oil-fired steam boiler units. The standards in the final rule will require partial CCS in the area of 20%, but that is an improvement over the 40% contained within the proposed rule. In the rule addressing existing power plants, also known as the Clean Power Plan, there are several areas where the EPA seems to have taken a more reasonable approach in the final rule. The most notable improvement is that the emission limits for Florida have increased. Also, the EPA seems to have responded to calls for an implementation glide path by phasing in emission standards during the interim period beginning in 2022 rather than the 2020 cliff that was contained in the proposed rule. Some other improvements include the EPA has dropped the building block 4 requirement for energy efficiency in the BSER. States can, however, voluntarily include energy efficiency in their state implementation plans. The EPA changed its approach to renewable energy in the final rule, no longer applying requirements from a single state to all the other states. They also performed a more critical review of projects under construction, which benefited Florida by recognizing additional oil to natural gas conversions. The EPA applied its BSER to national and interconnection-wide data rather than making assumptions about each individual state. And in the proposed rule, the EPA established state-specific standards. And in the final rule, the EPA established national standards for both fossil steam and natural gas technologies, and then established state standards based upon each state's mix of those technologies. So established the national standard and then applied it to the states based upon their portfolio. Finally, the final rule allows a little more time to file a state implementation plan. One of the options for Clean Power Plan compliance is emissions trading. The EPA has proposed two model emission trading rules, one a mass-based and the other a rate-based approach. Although these are proposed as draft federal implementation approaches, these models can be utilized by states in developing their state implementation plans. As you are aware, the agency responsible for development and enforcement of a state implementation plan in Florida is the Department of Environmental Protection. Staff is available for questions, if you have any.
I got a question for staff. I know I know DEPs have reached out to the utilities. I guess their first reach out to figure out how they can come to compliance. What have we done so far as our interaction with DEP?
Mr. Chairman, I can answer that. Mark Futrell with staff. And Mr. Chairman, the staff has had several staff-to-staff contacts with the DEP Air Resources Division, their management, and have had some face-to-face meetings and some phone calls to try to share information to get a read into commit to coordinate further together as the DEP takes whatever actions they're going to take going forward. And so we're certainly staying in regular contact with them to assist them as they need information.
Do we know what direction and what they plan on doing moving forward? I mean, since they've already met with everybody, what's step two?
We do have some information that they have announced that they do intend to begin the process to seek an extension to file the state implementation plan. As Casey mentioned, the way EPA has laid this out is by September of 2016, the state either has to file its full state implementation plan or make a filing to seek an extension of 2 years, which would delay the filing until September 2018. It does appear that DEP is going to begin that process to seek that extension and prepare that extension filing. And so they appear to be beginning to think out that process, what steps do they need to take to meet EPA's requirements. Although staff with EPA has made some public statements that it'll be a fairly low hurdle, but there are some boxes the states will have to check to help justify that extension.
Is there anything that we need to do to help facilitate that extension?
I think we certainly communicate with DEP staff that we're here to help to the extent, you know, it's within the commission's jurisdiction and authority, and to help answer their questions. I know they've had, some of their staff have had questions to understanding the commission's processes and you know, its approvals for new resources and cost recovery policies, so we've tried to be of help to them in that. Understanding reliability impacts, for example, so we continue to stand ready to assist them as needed.
Do we have any idea when the federal plan is supposed to be out?
Well, it's in a proposed state, the federal plan. There will be an opportunity once it's published in the Federal Register. There will be, I believe, a 90-day comment period. And as of this morning, we're on some alert email distribution list. It's not been published. But once the published date happens, it'll be 90 days from there, they'll take comment.
Okay. Commissioner Egger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple points, and then after further discussion, maybe some more questions. First of all, Mark, thank you, as always, for your good work. Just for a point of clarification, I think perhaps a misstatement. You mentioned that DEP has announced that they are going to begin the process for an extension, and then you said that it appears. Those do not, to me, okay, seem to be the same thing. So for clarification.
Right. Thank you. I have spoken to their senior staff, and they have relayed that they are comfortable saying that they will begin the process to seek the extension.
Okay, thank you. And I believe I'm not sure whom, but somebody on behalf of DEP is making a presentation on this issue to, I think, the House Committee tomorrow?
That would be me, yes, ma'am.
That would be you.
It was actually they list the speakers in the agenda, but it's one line item announcing the topic. And my understanding is that Ms. Paula Cobb, who's the Deputy Secretary over the Air Resources Regulation, mm-hmm, part of DEP, will be making an overall presentation on the details of the Clean Power Plan and associated regulations, and to comment on DEP's responsibilities. And they've asked for a PSC perspective just on our role with regard to jurisdiction over, you know, resource planning, resource selection, cost recovery. And so I'll be filling that.
Great,
request.
Thank you. Yes. I look forward to watching. switching slightly. I know many of us have heard for the last few weeks that in the next week or two, the rule will be published in the Federal Register. As Mark pointed out, that has not yet occurred. Ridiculously easy advertisement coming. Please note that Administrator McCarthy will be speaking at our NARUC annual meeting in mid-November, so opportunity for commissioners to ask questions directly if you are so inclined. Mark, for the state implementation plan, recognizing that there is the opportunity for that to be issued sooner or for an extension to be requested, but are there provisions, if you know, in the process to put together and then submit a state implementation plan that would take into account potential issues or concern around reliability and affordability?
I believe that's something that I think EPA has mentioned in some of theirs that consider reliability impacts. So I believe that'll be something that we'll be wanting to, you know, express to DEP that certainly be considered. I think everyone seems to be aware of that issue, but we'll make sure that DEP is aware of that. And I think they're going to look to us to help them understand reliability impacts of as they begin to think about potential compliance pathways.
Commissioners, I would just say that I do believe that Florida is particularly well situated for not having to be as concerned as some states will need to be about potential impacts on reliability. But I do think it's something that we need to, of course, be very involved in and cognizant in, coordinate, of course, with DEP, and maybe even perhaps look at other points of entry as the process follows, since that is generally not a consideration of their air program. And similarly, I would like us to be involved in whatever ways we appropriately can, and I think that will continue to evolve as decisions and recommendations are made that ultimately may come before us for cost recovery under the Environmental Cost Recovery Clause. Thank you, Mark.
Commissioner Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mark, thank you for your presentation a few weeks ago and for your future presentation that you're going to present to the legislature. And staff, thank you for tracking and your communication with DEP in coordination. Looking forward to that continuing to evolve over the next several months. And Mark, you all are tracking so much right now with regard to the pending federal legislation. I'm actually curious about the court proceedings and the challenges that are being presented to EPA and the other administrative actions that are going. Can you give us a quick overview? I know you touched on that. Maybe, Catherine, you can do that, please.
I haven't seen anything new since we put together the IA memo. So where we are right now is that there is a request for reconsideration pending at EPA, actually a couple, several. There's one that's a multi-party request for a stay, and then there's one reconsideration stay and one for a stay, and to my knowledge, EPA has not ruled on those requests for reconsideration. There was a petition for an extraordinary writ asking for a stay of the effect of the rule that was filed in the D.C. Circuit Court, and Florida was a party with 14 or 15 other states, and it was ruled to be basically premature, that you'd have to wait until the actual rule was published in the Federal Register. So at this point in time, that's where I think everybody's waiting for the Federal Register publication.
Thank you, and I know it goes without saying, I know you all will keep us informed, but please, if any presentations that you prepare for the legislature, if you could bring it to our attention as well, and any updates once that final rule is published in the Federal Register, please let us know as soon as possible. That would be excellent, and thank you again.
Once again, staff, thank you very much for your work on this issue. This is, I think, it's an issue that's very important to the state of Florida for sure. I definitely wasn't a fan of this when it came out. Still not a fan of it, but I don't hate it as much as I did initially. I think, as Commissioner Brown had said and Commissioner Egger has said, this is something that we need to make sure that we keep our fingers on. So we understand and we can react as quickly as we need to when things start to change. And I do appreciate how well you guys have been following this. That all being said, I don't think there's any action we have to take on this. Is that correct? No, it's just an update. But I do want to thank you very much for your time and all the effort you put into this. Okay. General Counsel report. Anything?
Report. Nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Executive Director's report. Anything?
No report.
Other matters. Commissioners. Anything? Okay. That being said, I believe we are adjourned. I hope you all travel safe, and I will see you later.